Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, my guest today is going to be Masha Malka. She's calling in from Spain, and so we are waiting for her phone call. Apparently, they are 9 hours ahead of us in time, so it's about midnight. And I had met Masha at an appearance that I did in New York City back in October. So this is going to be, I think, quite an interesting story. She has a real good attitude about life, and this young lady has this book that she put together, The 1 Minute Coach, that has some real good tips, and we'll be discussing that as soon as we're able to get her on that phone line. So when that becomes available, we will do that. Meanwhile, what I will do is share some things with you in the way of information. Oh, hello, Masha!
Hi, Donna. How are you?
Well, my goodness, your timing was absolutely perfect. I'm absolutely magnificent. And is it deliciously warm in Spain?
It is, well, it comes and goes. You know, it's raining. It's a bit of a rainy season right now. But it's warmer than where you are, I assume.
Ah, I believe that. I'm in the Pacific Northwest, and our temperatures today, I think, are maybe in the middle 40s.
Wow. No, we're 19 degrees Celsius, so probably high 60s.
Aha, uh-huh. Yes, definitely warmer. Masha, when I met you in New York, and you mentioned your book, and I said, do send me a copy, which you did, I had no idea the background of your life. You're a young woman, and you grew up in the Cold War environment of Soviet-controlled Ukraine in a called Kharkov, which is on the border with Russia.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like? What was the environment like at that time when you were growing up?
Well, you know, when you don't know any different, it's perfectly fine. And for me, growing up as a child, I quite enjoyed it because education was free and there was a lot of activities I could attend to. And the fact that we didn't have much money or didn't have variety or as much choice or nearly as much choice as in the Western world, you know, we didn't know that we were lacking something. It's not until really I immigrated, we became refugees in 1987 with my family, that they realized the real difference.
Now, you left school while you were in Russia at the age of 18 and went to a dance college, mm-hmm. and your parents were aware more than you were, obviously, because you were so young as you were growing up, that they really wanted you to have more. Now, are you the only child, or do you have some brothers and sisters?
No, I have a brother. He's a younger brother, Yuri, and I believe he's listening, and in fact today he became a professor at the university, so congratulations to him.
Absolutely.
I'm very proud of him.
Now, your mother especially wanted to get out of Russia. She wanted to get out of the environment she was in. She knew, and according to what you wrote, it took her 9 years to finally get permission to leave the country. But when you left the former Soviet Union, you couldn't take anything with you. What were you able to walk out with? I mean, besides the clothes on your back?
Yes, just the clothes, and I believe it was $100 per person. There was five of us, so my parents, my brother, and also my mom's dad, who was quite sick. And I think it was one piece of jewelry. But you know, I tell you the truth, Donna, what I really regret that we couldn't take, we were not allowed to take, the photos, the group photos, so photos of my classmates and you know, of my friends, and that's what I really miss, that I couldn't take with me. You know, so this is the things you miss. I mean, everything else you kind of buy again or you gain again, but this kind of things. And also in 87, when it was still Soviet Union, of course, we were refugees, so we were the enemies of the country at that time as we were leaving. So couldn't really tell anybody that, you know, where we were going. And it was very, very traumatic. I was 17 at the time. I didn't want to go at that time because I didn't know it was better on the other side. I wanted to be with my friends. You know what it's like when you're a teenager.
Oh, sure.
I was living with the idea that I will never ever see them again, or my family, you know, that I couldn't go back because we had to renounce our citizenship. So it was very hard. It took me a long time to recover. But it made me stronger.
Yes, it did. And I think that what you're saying and sharing is so important, because so many people in America and in maybe other countries are not aware of challenges that individuals have gone through. Here you are, a young woman. This wasn't all that long ago. Stripped of your citizenship. Your family was not permitted to talk to anybody or tell anybody what was going on. You were considered an enemy of the then state. And then you went not only from that tremendous agitation and upheaval, you're 17 years old, but then you are shipped over to Vienna. And then in Vienna, you had another cultural shock, and that was you saw all kinds of things on shelves and choices that you never did have in the former Soviet Union. Tell us what that was like for you.
Oh, my God. A lot of funny stories, actually, about the cultural shock. And then I'll share a couple with you. I find them very funny now, but at the time, you know, it was normal. When we landed at the airport, and we walked in, this group of Russian people, and we saw a woman standing with a stall of brochures. And it was the first thing we saw. And we were wondering what it was. So I was the brave one. I came to see what it was. And I knew how to ask how much. So I asked how much. She said free. And it's just brochures. So I took a whole load of them because it was free. Not because I understood anything in it or I needed it, but it was free.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was amazing to see, let's say, the food stalls outside on the street and seeing people passing by and not taking the fruits and vegetables, you know, not stealing them, so to speak. It was just laying there, which I found really strange because in the Soviet Union, if you had to buy something, I'd say 99% of the time you had to stay in a long line. Even if you didn't know what they were selling, if you see a line, you get in it, and then you get it, whatever it is. It's very different. And of course, the sexual freedom in Austria, in Vienna at the time, was completely mind-blowing to me because in the Soviet Union, it was taboo. You don't talk about it. You don't see it in movies, except maybe someone kissing. You don't see anything like it. At the, you know, so that was, at 17, a very big shock.
Well, I loved your story about how you were at a swimming pool and you saw a woman going topless. And, of course, in that environment, they don't think anything about it. And you went over to her. You were so concerned because she might have lost her top, and you wanted to see if you could help her find it.
Yeah, that's right.
That was, you know, that is, like
that's
you said.
That's right. I felt really sorry for her. I thought, poor thing, forgot her top. And, you know, and then when I got to the pool and I saw dozens of them, I'm like, okay, something's different here.
Now, here you are able to eventually come into the United States, and your mom and dad, they started work as cleaning people, and then you went to an American high school, which just absolutely was like being on another planet.
Yes,
because
yes.
Because you had so much freedom of speech and everything else, but now you really seem to be very good at mathematics. You enjoyed mathematics. You eventually mastered the English language. You ended up working different part-time jobs. And you went on to college. You were just, on one hand, so excited about the changes. On the other hand, you were very confused. And I think it's good to be aware of you. And because there are many people that are like you that come into the U.S. that do go through a cultural shock. They're just astonished. They have never experienced this kind of freedom in their mm-hmm. lives. And you said that there was a man, Brian Tracy,
mm-hmm.
that really created a turning point in your life. How so? What did Brian do?
Well, I was lucky in 1996 to attend a seminar that was actually put together by another wonderful guru of mine, Anthony Robbins. You probably heard of him.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and he put together this seminar where he invited many people, such as Brian Tracy and George Bush Sr. was there as well, and Pat Riley, and a lot of wonderful speakers. And at the end, I was able to purchase audio tapes, and I actually purchased Brian Tracy's tapes. And one of them was Psychology of Achievement. Now, there were two things that I learned from that tape that kind of turned my life around. One was, never let anyone make you feel guilty about anything, including yourself, especially yourself. Basically, you know, I used to be quite good at this. And my self-esteem was very low at the time, so that definitely helped build my self-esteem. And I firmly believe that the level of our self-esteem is directly related to the level of success we can achieve in whatever area. So that was one big step. And the second big lesson I got from those tapes is that I am responsible for my own life. It's not what happened to me. It's not where I came from or the language I used to speak, who I know, and so on. It's in my control. It has to do with my thoughts, with my intentions, with my beliefs, and my actions at the end. So that really was empowering, and I started learning, you know, a lot more about the wisdoms of life, and I read many, many books and attended other seminars, but that's where it started.
You put this book together, The 1 Minute Coach, because you became aware of yourself, the changes that you could make, and I like your sentence in your book where you say, it's not about forcing change, it's about being a catalyst for change. You can only help people who want to be helped. And this was something that through the seminars, through becoming aware of a different type of thinking, you were able to learn from. And right in the introduction in your book, you say, or I should say, you ask the question, where would you like to be a year from now? You start your book off with that positioning of thought, and the word choice comes up over and over again for you, and you put together 52 inspirational messages. Did you want them to be used like once a week? Is that what was in your mind when you put the book together?
The original idea was, yes, to have it for a year, because each little chapter that has a one-minute inspirational message followed by an action step and an image. And because, you know, there are action steps and they take time to implement, I intended for people, and I still do, to read a chapter a week and then implement those steps and eventually turn them into new habits, new empowering habits. What I find since I started selling the book is that people like to use it as a reference guide. And because we are so busy nowadays, you know, we're running around taking care of chores or things we have to do, responsible for doing. And as much as most, you know, we all, I believe, understand the value in learning and growing, there is just not enough time in the day to read the book for most of us. And this book, I believe, is a perfect solution to these busy people, because it only takes a minute, and what they do is they basically, either before they go to sleep or during breakfast or any time during the day, hold the book in their hand, then focus and even mentally ask a question, okay, what is the message for me today? And then just open it on any page and read that message, and takes a minute, read the action steps, and it gives them this this boost. You know, it serves as a reminder of what is important and what we can focus on and how we can shift our life because of some new thought or idea that can come in through that.
I agree with you. I like your statement about you have a particular section here where you say the secrets of people who are successful. And you have a quote by Thomas Edison, the successful person makes a habit of doing what the failing person doesn't like to do. But as one reads down through your material, there's the statement, there are no secrets. Tell us why there are no secrets.
Because I believe we all know. We all know what we have to do. Okay, we all know the wisdoms of life. There is nothing new that me or I believe most people tell us. I present it in a different way maybe. I say it in my own way that might be more understandable. But really, we know what to do. What happens is that we forget because we're just busy doing things we have to do. Or we just don't want to focus on these things because we have limiting beliefs about them or any other reasons. But my job is to remind people, show them that they can easily take these action steps in their day-to-day life without big investments or any investments. And those little steps, one-minute shifts in our thinking and small action steps, create huge differences over time.
I
think it's important that people don't focus on the big, on the big problem or huge changes that they have to make. They just need to focus on one little step.
You ask a question in your book of the reader, whose life are you living? And that's a very powerful question. Whose life are you living? I don't know that many people would even know to ask that question, but it's a very important question because all too frequently we do try to live for other people or we try to, you know, make the structure of our life around others, giving very little thought to who we are. Did you find that you went through a phase like that?
Yes, I did. And the Soviet mentality is a very dutiful mentality. Basically, you have a duty to your country, your motherland. You have a duty to your friends, to your family. And then maybe if there is any time left, you know, you take care of your own needs. I believe, and I've learned to believe, that it's the other way around. You've got to take care of your own needs before anything else, because unless you have something to give, you cannot give it. If you are not happy and fulfilled, you cannot really make other people happy. If you don't have the money to give, you know, you can't give it, obviously. So basically, it's very important to look at yourself as number one, as the most important client if you're in business, you know, in life, and to take time for yourself, take care of yourself, to sit down and think what's important in your life, where you're going, why you're rushing through the life. I mean, what is after that? What's important? This is how I actually got into coaching, because my husband used to be a stockbroker, and I was in shock when I found out that the people around him, what they used to do to succeed and the kind of hours they used to put into work and in the process lose their health, lose their loved ones, and one of them committed suicide. Another one just waited till he retired to start living and then also died a month later. And I just didn't want to see that happening in people's life. I wanted them to stop running for a moment and say, you know, where am I going? Why am I doing this? And if they're happy doing what they're doing, fantastic, you know, keep doing it. But if they're not, then reevaluate where you're going. It's good for everyone to do on a regular basis.
I think that is important. One of your clients was poker champion Paul Zimbler. And you give a quote in here that is from his own definition of success, and I'd like to share it with my audience. This is what poker champion Paul Zimbler said, and you quoted this in your book, The 1 Minute Coach. Success is achieving the best you can do, being honest, committed, hardworking, and true. Don't dwell in the past, look forward, not back. Give yourself chances, others will lack. Anyone can make mistakes on the way, success is learning, but errors can pay. Dream without limits, plan without fear, before you expect it, the future is here. Reach for the sky, aim for the sun. Achievers will finish a job once begun. I really like that poem.
Oh, thank you.
I really think that was something that's very good. And you said there is one word to define success. What is that word to you?
Well, I say there is one word to define success. And then when I do workshops, I ask everyone what they think that word is. And they come up with different definitions. So then they say, well, then what success is really, the word is personal. Success means different things to all of us, to different people. There is a success that we think the society thinks success is, such as, you know, maybe being wealthy and so on. But the truth is, when you start really thinking and ask yourself, what does success mean to me? Okay, it could be very different. To some people, it's being able to get out of bed and walk. To other people, 4 million is not successful because they want 100 million. So it's mm-hmm. very personal. There is no right or wrong definition, but it's important to understand what success means to you, because if you don't know it, you don't know what you're trying to achieve.
I really loved one story that you had in your book. In fact, I wrote and made curlicues around it, made a funny face, because it's the section that is titled, Do Not Underestimate Your Skills. And it was about a wealthy man who owned a wonderful luxury steamship. Would you like to share that story? Because I think it's priceless.
You want me to say the story?
Yes.
Okay. A wealthy man was fishing on his boat when he saw a young fisherman cleaning his little boat. The weather was nice, it was sunny, the wealthy fisherman was in a good mood, so he decided to help out the younger man, and he said to him, would you like me to teach you how to become very wealthy? And the younger man didn't seem so as interested as the older man would have liked him to be, but said, okay, you know, tell me. He said, well, if you work extra hours, then you can hire someone to help you. And then you can make more money and you can buy another little boat. Well, the younger man kind of lay on his back, put the hands behind his head, and seemed half interested. The wealthy man was getting a bit irritated, but he continued. Then, you know, you can get another little boat, and then you can sell the little boat, and you can get a big boat. And the young man said, okay, and then what? Well, then when you have a big boat, you can catch a lot more fish, and you can make a lot more money. The young man said, okay, and then what? Well, then you're going to have the freedom to relax and do what you want to do. And the young man, who was relaxing on his boat and looked perfectly pleased with his life, said sagely, okay. Basically, I'm doing it now.
Very true. Now, I know that you, with this 1 minute coaching that you have, and again, you do workshops. Now, right now, you're in Spain. That's where you live most of the time, with your husband and your 3 children. How often do you do workshops?
Well, I do workshop about twice a month, and I have regular coaching clients. I organize my life in a way that I'm able to work and spend quality time with my children and my husband, and I have a lot of wonderful friends as well. And that is one of the main points of my training is to show people how they can have it all, do what they love and be with their loved ones and take care of their health. You know, there's a way to create that balance.
I agree. You have used the word once in our conversation today, and that word is responsible, being responsible for our lives. And that, I think, is so important. Now, I know that there are circumstances that can affect us that we're not expecting. Life is not a straight line. There's always flips and curls and swirls in it. But you have a quote by Rolling Thunder, and this was an American Indian medicine man that I thought was quite powerful and should be shared. He said, and this was many years ago, people have to be responsible for their thoughts, so they have to learn to control them. It may not be easy, but it can be done. First of all, if we don't want to think certain things, we don't say them. We don't have to eat everything we see, and we don't have to say everything we think. So we begin by watching our words and speaking with good purpose only. And I think that that is so very, very true.
Absolutely. It's interesting because one of my coaching clients today brought it up. And he said he actually used the book as a reference in the morning. And said that same day, he had a conversation with someone. He got really angry. And usually he would speak up and say, you know, things that he would regret later. And he was about to do that. And then he said, you know, I remembered what I read. I stopped myself, took a deep breath, and I thought about why would I say it, what do I want. What is the outcome I'm looking for? And then he rephrased it in a way that was a lot more effective, you know, because we're saying something, we want to get a certain result. So it's important to ask, okay, what is my intention? What do I want to get out of this? And if you ask that question, you're much more likely to get what you're looking for and not get into an argument and say things that are irreversible later.
You have a delightful book here. You have some wonderful stories in it, Masha. Wonderful examples to stimulate people's minds, to give them maybe just a thought for a week that allows them to work with that thought for a week. And whenever we take a baby step in a direction of change, of metamorphosing ourselves into really more of what we really want to be, once we have a clear idea of what that might be, then it's just continuing those tiny steps one right after the other. Your book is The 1 Minute Coach, Change Your Life 1 Minute at a Time. Masha, what is your website that people can go to?
My website is www.masha, which is M-A-S-H-A, Malka, M-A-L-K-A.com. So it's one word, MashaMalka.com.
Masha Malka. MashaMalka.com. And of course, all my listeners are really savvy on the web. Masha, before we finish our conversation today, what thought would you like to leave my audience with?
Yeah, that's a great question because I love to do that. What I would like to say to your listeners is that we are very habitual creatures. In fact, everything we do, 90% of what we do actually, is habitual. And we cannot make changes unless we learn something new. So if you want to take your life to a different level, get a book, any book, listen to a radio show, or listen to some uplifting TV, or do something that will give you new ideas, new connections, that you can shift your mind and you shift your beliefs and get your life moving upwards.
Masha, it's been absolutely delightful talking with you. I appreciate you being up so late in Spain. I understand it's like 12:30 in the morning where you are.
It's my pleasure.
Yes, and it's just been so delightful. Again, Masha Malka's book is called The 1 Minute Coach, Change Your Life 1 Minute at a Time. You can go to her website and check, and even though she's in Spain, yes, you still can get this. And her website is Masha, M-A-S-H-A, Malka, M-A-L-K-A.com. And she will be more than happy to send you a copy of the book or make sure that you have the arrangements with the publisher who is in Florida.
It can be bought on Amazon.com as well.
Yes. Marcia, thank you again for staying up so late in your part of the world, and I'm delighted to have had this opportunity to have chatted with you.
Thank you so much, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't you go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hello, and oh my goodness, isn't it exciting when you think about being able to talk with someone from another part of the world? Gee whiz, when I think of my grandparents, they wouldn't have even considered calling long distance because, one, it would have cost a fortune, two, the connection would have been awful, and three, they'd say, I'd send a letter, rather than talking on the telephone. You know, it's amazing when we think of today's world and what we're able to do. I was in a meeting this afternoon with someone. We were talking about videos, and this person is a professional photographer, and they haven't used standard film, photo film, in years. They've only used digital photography. And they said everything has changed in their life. We live in such an exciting period of history. Of course, maybe everybody felt that way, whatever generation they came from, but it's really quite amazing when you, again, think of how just with BBS Radio, with what we are doing, being able to reach people around the world via the Internet and being able to share so many wonderful aspects with you. I just think it's absolutely incredible. Every day I am just so grateful to be a part of this ever-changing environment. Well, telephone lines are now open, and if you would like to interact with me on the air, I would be delighted to light up your life with some intuitive insight. Here are the telephone numbers you can call in to if you're in the U.S. The phone number to call in to is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. So you just know you can call in on any one of those lines. And what I like from you is your first name or your initial. And sometimes if you have the computer on real loud in the background, it interferes with my being able to hear you. So if you have, you know, good sound, I want you to turn it down so we don't have interference. But I want your name or initial, and I'd love to know where you're calling from. It's that simple. So just give me a buzz at 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 and 530-876-3222. Well, I wanted to share something with you today. I have always so much material that crosses my desk, and some of it is so different and unique and unusual. And if you have a special story you'd like to send it to me, send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. And whenever I'm able to use it, I will do so. Were you aware that ostriches once were able to fly? Now, to me, they're the most fascinating bird, but I came across this information, and to the best of their knowledge, they do believe that the ostrich descended from an ancestor that used to be able to fly. They don't know why it became landlocked, but the ostrich has adapted to being a ground bird. Now, its wings are huge. Its wings are absolutely huge. But, you know, this is the same thing that applies to penguins, emus, and they believe that about 45 to 65 million years ago, they lost their ability to fly. And they developed into an animal. If ever you've seen any programs on ostrich farming, they are really something to contend with. These are powerful, powerful birds. And they're able to run away from predators, and they have just so many unique characteristics. They still use their wings for courtship and displaying aggression, but they've adapted so well to being a ground bird, they really didn't need to fly anymore. They are so fast as runners, they go over 40 miles an hour in short stretches. Could you imagine running that fast? You'd cover a lot of territory. Wouldn't that be a great way to exercise? Do 40 miles, you know, in 1 hour, no sweat? That's a great thing to do. And their eyesight is absolutely excellent. And do you know what? Because they have such long necks and they can rise, you know, rise up, and they have such excellent vision, they can see their predators really, really efficiently and well. So it's pretty hard for critters to sneak up on them. So that's just a little bit of information about ostriches. Also, I came across some material regarding satellites that you can see with the naked eye. And this is information you can, if you'd like to follow the International Space Station's orbit, all you have to do is go to the NASA website, and they will give you the opportunity to do exactly that. And this is how the site is listed, spaceflight.nasa.gov/real-data/tracking. Let me repeat that, because if you love to watch stuff like that, this is really optimal. spaceflight.nasa.gov/real-data/tracking. And they said you can spot them sometimes as bright spots moving straight across the sky, and then they'll suddenly disappear. You might think it's a UFO, like an alien spaceship, but it's not. It's actually one of the passing satellites. And they say the reason that the disappearance takes place so suddenly is that when the satellite passes into Earth's shadow, from the satellite's point of view, the sun has just set, so there's no sunlight to reflect. And there's a lot of different orbits that they follow, depending on what the purpose of the satellite is. And they say, generally, the higher the satellite, the longer it's going to take to orbit Earth, and then it's going to be harder to see. And a geostationary satellite, which is 22,000 miles up in the atmosphere, well, you can't see it, but the International Space Station, which is in orbit about 210 miles up, people have been able to spot that. It's pretty easy to spot it. And it takes only 90 seconds to move from horizon to horizon. Well, here in the Pacific Northwest, if there's no cloud cover, you might have a chance of seeing it. But if there's cloud cover, no way. You're not going to have a hope or a prayer of that. But for so many of you in different parts of the world, you may have clearer and brighter skies than we've got. And so consequently, you'll be able to see it. And it's absolutely amazing what we're able to do today. I think, my goodness, what in the world are our grandchildren and great-grandchildren going to be experiencing? How exciting it's going to be for them. Now, if you want to have me give you some insight about your life and your directions in life, I'd be delighted to do that. I'd be happy to give you a reading on the air. The telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, 530-876-5227. 3222. Now, we are starting into the baseball season. I've got friends, their kids are getting involved with Little League. The weather's getting nicer, and a lot of the teams are starting to do their training camps. Well, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Jack Perconti. This is the nicest man. He was a professional ball player, and he really got involved with kids. And he's put out a book called 60,000 Hitting Lessons. Big number. Well, he has got a book here. If any of you have kids that are in Little League, or if you've got a friend that's got a child in that wonderful environment of sport, this is a book that would be great for anybody who loves baseball. It would make a great gift. But more than that, if you like working with kids, it enables you to be a real good coach with them. So we're going to be talking with Jack Perconti. And then next week, we've got a great lineup of people. Martin Yale, who's a repeat guest on the show. We're going to be talking about job hunting. Do you really want to make a difference? Do you really want to have that cutting edge relative to interviews and finding work? Well, we're going to be talking about how to knock them dead in 2008. Then Teresa Tapp, we are going to do a special on kids and exercise. So frequently, when you listen to the news or you'll pick up a paper or a magazine, the topic of obesity is just right there, and they talk about kids having a problem with obesity. They like to blame the fast food chains. I mean, it's always this person's fault or that business's fault. It's all of this here. And I find, as a society, we have become too protective of our children. This is my bias. And they don't get out and play like they should. They're not getting exercise. It used to be kids could go out, play ball in the street. In fact, in our neighborhood, there are some kids, that's exactly what they do. They go in, they have a time for the homework, and then they're out playing football, street football. And it's just, it's great. They're out running up this energy. When they're young like that, they just have all this energy. You wish you could bottle it and package it and sell it to people that are in their 80s. I mean, it's just, it's wonderful. But they have all of that energy for a reason. They're growing, they're developing. They need to exercise. Well, because so many schools have dropped the physical education programs, Teresa, having been involved with physical therapy, then she has developed this informational program. So kids, right in school, in the school room, they can do exercises right by their desks. When they get in their slumps, when they get sleepy, there are things that they can do. It's absolutely marvelous. So we're going to be talking with Teresa next Tuesday. And by the way, don't forget, she's offering the Core Tap, the T-Core Tap exercise DVD. And believe me, it's excellent. For only $10, go to her website, ttap.com. And you'll get to her site, and you can order it, and it's only $10. It's a special for this week and next week, and if you want to get it, you will be amazed at the results. Believe me, I've had it. Then I'm going to be flying down to Los Angeles to do an appearance there. So we're going to have a Best of Donna running next Wednesday, and then we're going to be talking with a woman by the name of Dawn. She wrote the most phenomenal book called Notes from a Minor Key. This woman is a concert pianist that is just absolutely awesome. She is an incredible pianist, and we'll be hearing some of her music, but more than that, we'll be hearing her story, and her story is just an incredible one. And then The Chase for Beauty. Robert Mendelsohn is going to be our guest, and it is going to be quite a conversation because there is so much to the world of beauty, the industry for same, and how we feel about ourselves. Well, Robert is going to be discussing that, and we are going to have quite a time. So we've got a wonderful lineup of people next week, and I want you to tell your friends and invite them to become a part of the show as well. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 and 530-876-3222. There is some information and about a vice president that I thought I would share with you. Are you aware that we had a vice president of the U.S. that won a Nobel Prize and also composed a hit song? Yep. When we come back from break, I'll tell you who he was. It's an amazing thing. Little tidbits like that you never usually hear about. on the evening news. Well, we'll find out about this Vice President of the United States that won both a Nobel Prize and composed a hit song. This is Donna Siebel. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't you go away now.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Siebel. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a
Donna
difference.
Donna Siebel publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.DelphiInternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and her website is www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like for me to light up your life with some intuitive insight. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, or 530-876-3222. For those of you who are listening in the state of Washington, if you, for whatever reason, have not heard this announcement previously in the week, know that the Psychic Spectrum Expo that was to be done this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday has been canceled, so I will not be doing an appearance there, nor will I be broadcasting from there tomorrow. So if you hadn't heard that news, I wanted to repeat it again, because I don't want you to go out there and then find, whoops, it's not happening. So if you were interested in going, again, it has been canceled. Okay, I said I would tell you the only vice president to win a Nobel Prize and to compose a hit song. That was Charles Gates Dawes. Now, he was the vice president during the second term of Calvin Coolidge. He won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1925 for the Dawes Plan, which attempted to reorganize Germany's World War I reparation payments and stabilize German finances. He also was an accomplished flute player and a classical composer. Now, in 1912, he composed Melody in A Major, and in 1951, the year of his death, Carl Sigman wrote words to the Dawes tune, and in 1958, the song, retitled It's All in the Game, was recorded by Tommy Edwards and made it to number one on the pop charts. Dinah Shore, Sammy Kaye, and pianist Carmen Cavallaro also popularized this Dawes tune. See, you don't know everything about everything. Neither do I, for that matter. That's why it's always fun to make discoveries about people and places and things that have gone on. That's what makes life so utterly, utterly interesting. It just is, it's a wonderful thing when you can find out about what's gone before and what it is that is going to be, just with the sheer a possibility. Well, it looks like we've got a caller. Let's take the caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Oh, hi, Donna. My name's Rebecca, and I'm calling from California. Actually, I wanted to make a comment on your show today. You just gave me a recent reading.
Oh.
I just want to say I hope the listeners understand the value that your show and your guests bring towards empowering people to change their lives. This last person had so much information that I think a person could listen to the archive a couple of times and pick up different things from what she said. I'm just, like, totally moved by everything that she said, and I just wanted to call and say thank you for all the work that you do and the research that you do and the guests that you bring on, and I just hope everybody realizes that.
Thank you, Rebecca. That means a lot for you to call in and make that kind of a statement. Thank you very much, because that's the reason I do the show.
I know, and I was going to send you an email, and I thought, no, I feel like this is too important that I want other people to hear that and also to tell you, because you do. You tremendously help myself, and just even by listening to the shows, it lights up my life, and so hopefully maybe this will light up your life a little bit.
Well, it does. It is just such a joy to know that it has an impact and that the messages that so many of my guests have to share, and with Masha, what makes it so special with her is that here is a young woman
mm-hmm.
who has gone through so much in her life, who has seen a part of an environment that, as she said, when she was growing up, she didn't know what she didn't have because all she had was what she had.
Exactly.
And then when she was exposed to freedom.
You know what I just flashed on is? People that are now waking up to they don't know what they have.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was a really good metaphor as you said that. People not realizing what they have and having to go through that process. And it's very hard.
It is.
But people like her can talk about how they went through it. And I don't know, I'm just, the quality that you provide is just unbelievable. And so I hope that listeners get that.
Thank you, Rebecca. And you know, tell your friends, because whoever wants to tune in can, and those archives are available 24 hours a day. Lots of times, because of the time of day that I'm on, people are not able to tune in, but they can know that they can listen at any time.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I do tout your show and BBS. So anyway, I just want to say bless you, and you have a great day, okay?
Thank you, Rebecca.
Okay,
you've given me a wonderful gift. Thank you very much. This is Donna Siebel. Now, remember yesterday I was telling you that I had a few more travel tips because as a traveling lady, of which I'm going to be doing quite a bit this year, more so than I've done in the past few years, I mentioned to you about luggage. Well, also when you do a lot of traveling, something that people are paying more attention to is when you travel, you just don't want to stay in your seat if possible. Now, I'm guilty on that, but I have learned how to do exercises when I'm in my seat. So I'm not worried about having a problem with my legs or them going numb or anything like that because I'm on the small side. But for a lot of people, dependent on their physical conditions, they really get concerned, gee whiz, could I have a problem like with a clot in my leg or could I do, you know, what could I do? What you need to remember is, just like when you're on the ground, when you're on the plane, move around. Get up out of your seat and walk a little bit. Be sure you drink lots of liquid, lots of water, and wear comfortable clothing. There's nothing worse than being on a long flight, whether it's going back to the East Coast or if you're going overseas, it's even worse. When you have real tight clothing, your body sometimes will swell just because of being up in the plane and being in a pressurized cabin. So make sure you have comfortable clothes on. And you should have a real good time. It is something that traveling, for me, by plane is just absolutely amazing. But if you think about it, you can also have similar problems if you're doing long-distance traveling in the car. Now, in the car, you can, you know, sort of pull over to the side of the road and say, well, I think I'll take a break. You can't do that in a plane, obviously. But you can move. So when you travel, keep in mind, you want to be comfortable. You want to have comfortable shoes on. You want to wear clothing that allows you to move around so that as you get up and down, you're not going to feel ill at ease. and traveling should be a joy. And again, when you go to the airports, please be sure to give yourself a lot of time. And I know it makes for a long day, but trust me on this one. You will be in the airports, and especially with the holiday coming up, the spring break for a lot of people, those lines are going to be miles long, and you may have to stand in a line just to get through to where you put your bags on the belt so that they get you through security. You could be in that line for 45 minutes to an hour. I have been in lines like that at the SeaTac Airport in Las Vegas, in New York, so be wise here. Well, this is Donna Sebo. We've run out of time. I want to thank Rebecca. I want to thank my guest. I want to thank you for supporting the show and for being there. And remember, tomorrow we've got 60,000 hits. It's baseball. Donna Sebo here. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a fabulous, fabulous day. We'll be with you here tomorrow, same time, same place. BBSRadio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.